Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network.
And today's date is March 5th, 2020.
Saints, the world was in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin in the world and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message.
And the phone number is 620-878-4682. That's 620-878-4682. And in case of an emergency, you can text Dan on his cell, then call him at 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886. You can find all the updates and the breaking news in the Wichita Mission Church radio program archives. And all of our contact information is at the Ministry Hub, which is simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com.
Say archives again.
Archives.
What you said a minute ago. Anyway, we're a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on internationally. It's on YouTube, some FM stations, so pray about sporting airtime.
On another note, let's thank our listener base that's worldwide, places like Parquet.
No, it's Prague.
Prague?
Yeah, Prague.
Czech Republic.
Just Czechs.
Czechs okay, Republic. Winnipeg, Canada, Brisbane, Australia, and of course, good old cities of the U.S., which is Portland, Oregon, Houston, Texas, San Diego, California, and Wichita, Kansas is still the largest group of listeners that listen to the podcast when it posts later tonight. Follow Dan at Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch 77, Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch 77 on Twitter.
Okay, all right. Prayer. I won't pick on you for anything. By the way, I just want to say I had somebody on Facebook that apparently follows me. But anyway, he was bragging yesterday about how much he loves the podcast. I think he just likes to hear me pick on you. I think that's what it is.
Yeah, well, I'm getting a little bit tired of that, you know.
Let's have a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. I pray the radio tonight goes according to your will tonight, Father, and not our will, Father. We can't do anything. And please give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. So please, Father Yahweh, bless this program tonight in your son Yeshua, HaMashiach's name, amen and amen. Well, I'm going to start it off right off with a phone call. That's your fault. Anyway, we're going to start it off right now with a real good song and then we'll talk afterwards. So let's hear it now.
And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Luke 17:26.
In the days of Noah, keeps ringing in my ear. People laugh and scoff when they hear the end is near. They go right on with building, not giving God a thought, forgetting about the flood. In anger he once brought. The spirit of old Noah is alive and well today, telling them of Jesus, that he's the only way. But most won't even listen. The devil's got them blind. They walk the path so broad, more riches trying to buy. just think of money and how to get some more. But little do they realize God's closing up the door. Soon the door will close, and when they hear it slam, their riches will be all for naught and their soul forever. Your trust in wealth, you've lots to fear. For the distant thunders are rumbling and the storm is almost here. You must put your trust in Jesus, for He's our today. When the storm of darkness comes, in Him you will be safe. Yes, the spirit of old Noah is alive and well today, telling them of Jesus, that He's the only way. But most won't even listen, the devil's got them blind. They walk the path so broad, more riches trying to find. They walk the path so broad, more riches trying to find.
Yeah, that was Brother Ben. His last name is McKnight. He's from Texas, and that was made in the 90s. We're long in the Bill Clinton era is when that was made. Anyway, and so he's got some great music. And by the way, folks, if you have some music that belongs to you and it's, you know, send me a link to it or whatever, and maybe we'll play it if we like it. Anyway, the coronavirus, I had hoped by this week that, and we are going to have a different guest on at 7 p.m. tonight, but I hoped by this week that we wasn't even going to be happening to do this kind of a program, because I thought, you know, I was hoping and praying that it would fall off, but it is just getting worse and worse. But I think the president and his team are doing a great job in order to contain it, as we heard him talk. Had he not, Obama with the H1N IV or whatever that was, he didn't even quarantine the country. He didn't even stop people from coming.
No, he just let it spread.
Yeah, he just let it spread. And our president was doing this as soon as he heard about it and started to do it.
Yeah, he was in contact with China. He knew about it before they ever released it. He said a month before they released it. So as soon as they released it, he closed the borders.
Yeah, amen. And he did something that other presidents didn't do, too. He even quarantined our people coming back in.
Yeah, everybody that came in had to be quarantined for 14 days before they could go back into population.
Yeah, amen. Well, but I think we may have some good news. I can't actually say it for sure, but and so I asked a friend of mine, Tom Mack, that comes on here regular. He does Bible codes, and we'll get him to explain a little bit what Bible codes are. But I gave him a sequence of codes to do concerning this. Now, Israel has a breakthrough and from their research institute on the coronavirus, and they claim that in, well, we'll read it here in a minute, from about 30 to 60 days, they may end up having a...
Well, only because they've been working on a coronavirus vaccine for infectious bronchitis virus for 4 years. So that what they're doing is they're taking that they've already established, and they're trying to tweak it to work against the COVID-19.
Right, you're absolutely correct. And so he says they may be able to, this right here, it looks like they're saying they're accelerating the process, and they'll be able to produce a vaccine in 8 to 10 weeks, and then within 90 days have it out to the public, and it won't be a shot. It'll be an oral vaccine.
Well, they're going to make it affordable, and they're trying to keep the big pharma out of the picture.
Well, amen. You're pretty knowledgeable about it today. So,
well, Big Pharma's not real happy about it because it's probably going to work, and they aren't going to get any money out of the deal. So they're trying to encourage people to take their antibiotics, which is only going to they don't work on the coronavirus, but they try to say that they'll fix you. But then after you get fixed from what virus you have, then you're sick from their antibiotics.
Well, I don't know, but I do know that we get most of our antibiotics come from China, and along with some other drugs. So, you know, one thing that coronavirus has shed light on, which a lot of us knew, but it's showing just how bad our supply chain is for critical things that we need to do inside the country that President Trump's been saying from the first.
Right, and I just learned from President Trump on his little speech that he did on this coronavirus yesterday that he has already started making our own medications in the United States.
Well, amen. Well, he's got some to do it, so amen. So praise the Lord. Okay, now this is up from Michael Snyder, and he has this. You can find him at themostimportantnews.com. Michael Snyder, this is the thing that he put out, and it's really important because the title to it is, "It's Time to Debunk the Skeptics." COVID-19 has a death rate that's about 34 times higher than the flu. And first off, for the record, folks, let's go with this. Coronavirus is not new. It's been around for a while. It's a different variation of that virus. So when we just say coronavirus, actually you're talking about a lot of different viruses. But so it's COVID-19. But anyway, it's an extremely deadly virus, and he's by now, you probably heard he says, a lot of people are trying to convince you that the coronavirus is not as dangerous as the flu. Well, this is what we have found out. Now let's go with this.
On Tuesday, the World Health Organization announced that the global death rate of the COVID-19 is now 3.4%. World health officials said Tuesday the case fatality rate for the COVID-19 is 3.4% globally, higher than previous estimates of about 2%. Globally, about 3.4% of reported COVID-19 cases have died. WHO Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, so however you pronounce it,
you can
said
it
during
you
a press briefing at the agency's headquarters in Geneva, in comparison, seasonal flu generally kills far fewer than 1% of those infected, he said.
Okay, so you're talking about 3.4% and compared to 1%. Let's go on. Go ahead.
Okay. As for the flu, the CDC says that there will be between 32 million and 45 million illnesses in the United States during this flu season, and somewhere between 18,000 and 46,000 deaths. That means that the death rate from the flu this year will probably be about 0.1%. COVID-19 is at least 34 times more deadly, and experts are warning that up to 70% of the global population could ultimately catch the virus. If that happens, we will see a death toll in the tens of millions at a minimum.
Stop. Yeah, if it's at the current rate. Now, what he did is did the math, but that came out from WHO, which is the World Health Organization, and we don't think they're pretty neck and neck with China. I mean, China influences them a lot. So we don't know. Again, we're back to that. We really don't know the truth of the matter. But comparing the numbers, that right now, this is what it looks like.
Here in the United States, the death rate is running well over 3.4% so far. Out of 118 confirmed cases, 9 victims have died so far.
Okay,
11 have died so far.
That's as of today, because this thing that you're reading from came out yesterday, and so that's what happened overnight. It was 9 yesterday, and now it's 11, so that's an increase by 2 deaths overnight in the United States. Go ahead.
Okay, and then the 8th and 9th persons confirmed to have died in the U.S. from the coronavirus lived in Washington State. Just like the previous 7 victims, Washington counts accounts for 27 of the 118 cases so far reported in the U.S., and state officials said 231 people are under public health supervision. The death rate in the U.S. could go down once we start testing more people, but we will see.
Stop. And that means, because, you know, what's problematic with this thing is it's not like some easy thing. Then they don't test everybody, and some people don't ever even show symptoms or anything. And so we don't know why. We have no way to know what the accurate number is. If we knew absolutely everybody that had it, then we could get an accurate number. But these are just the numbers that we can count.
Yeah, because I read one report that said you can have it, not even feel sick, carry it around, and be contagious, and not even know you're ever sick.
Yeah, I've seen more than one of those because, yeah, absolutely. It's like a really deadly, it's like a more deadly flu, and, you know, and even
it actually attacks your immune system, so it really depends on your immune system as to if you get it, how bad you'll have it, and how it will affect you. It all has to do with immunity. So if you build up your immunity while you can, your chances are if you get it, you won't have it as bad.
Okay, well, let's go with this. And a really good way, folks, to build this kind of immunity up, you need to make sure you've got enough or more than enough vitamin D, vitamin C, and zinc.
Elderberry.
Elderberry, yeah, and it's rich with zinc.
Vitamin C. It has it in it. You take two elderberries a day, and, yeah, it'll help tremendously.
Right.
Even if you do get it, you won't get it as bad.
Right, and it doesn't hurt to take a lot more vitamin C because your vitamin C is one vitamin that if your body doesn't absorb it that day, it does not build up. It washes out.
It throws it off, yeah.
It just goes right on out. Right now, besides the other vitamins I'm taking an extra dose of 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C.
And check up on getting the colloidal silver machine. If you don't want to make your own, buy some from Amazon before it's all gone.
Yeah, I really do honestly believe that it will combat it because it's a virus. And, you know, I can't say for sure. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist. But from what I've experienced, it's worked on everything, every other cold that we've ever
had. And sometimes when I don't think it's working, it's just because it's not working as fast as I want it to work, but it's actually working, Linda.
Sounds like a woman. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Santa Clara County. Did I skip some?
Yeah, you skipped
that. At this point, the coronavirus clusters are starting to pop up all over the nation. For example, the number of victims in Santa Clara County has now risen to
11.
Santa Clara County announces two new cases of the COVID-19, total now 11. The latest coronavirus case in New York City is a 50-year-old lawyer who resides in Westchester County, about 20 miles north of New York City, and is a partner at a firm based in Midtown Manhattan, multiple sources confirmed to Business Insider. The office building is in the vicinity of Grand Central Terminal, which sees about 750,000 daily commuters.
Okay, here's the point. This guy walked around with it for it. He goes on to be,
now
Mike
I get the
walked
point.
Around
oh, yeah.
with it for a while before he was, you know, it was, you know, before he knew he
so
had
So what
it.
They're trying to say is he was around 750,000 commuters daily, and so how many have it?
Right, and so over there they're saying that they should expect a big outbreak. But
oh,
anyway,
my.
At this point, fear is spreading like wildfire all over the nation. Twitter is asking its entire workforce of 5,000 people to work from home, part of its effort to keep employees safe, they said, and prevent the spread of the coronavirus. The company said working from home was mandatory for its workers in Hong Kong, Japan, and South Korea. Well, of course, those are where the higher rates of the COVID is.
Other companies are taking similar steps, and this will inevitably slow down the economy. But this could be just the beginning. If you can believe it, one NBA owner is actually saying that the NBA could eventually ban fans from games if things get bad enough. Mark
Larcy,
co-owner of the NBA's Milwaukee Bucks, told CNBC on Tuesday that sporting events could possibly ban fans if the coronavirus outbreak worsens. If you're going to do it, to basketball, you're going to do it to baseball, Larson said on the Fast Money. I hope we don't get there.
In other words,
so would you rather go see a game and get sick and die, or stay home and
watch
not
it on
get
TV.
Sick
yeah,
and watch it on TV? Let them go play.
Yeah, and that's what they'll do. But you see, but it once these things start, it could be bad. And pandemics, these things can last for a long time. The Spanish flu, which is by far the worst one that I know about, killed tens of millions of people, and it lasted for about 3 years. And so this.
And what Trump was saying is the Spanish flu was including children and youth. This here coronavirus seems to not even affect teenagers on down, and they're not even getting sick.
I haven't seen any reports of young people being sick. It's probably because their immune systems are so good. But let me throw this in, and we've got to go to break, and we'll come back, and we'll bring somebody else in, Tom Mack. But Iran, armed forces are on alert because it's they're really having a hard time over there in Iran. But their 23 members of their parliament has contracted the illness, and even the top advisor to the Ayatollah has. And so, you know, their whole upper echelon is being infected with it. And I don't know. I wonder if the Ayatollah will catch it. But he's probably walking around in a plastic suit, right? But that's the people of his parliament. You know what I'm saying? It'd be like if Congress caught it. That's what the comparison is. So, folks, we really don't know how big this is going to be, but you need to be precautionary. You need to take some things, second think everything, water, food. You always should have a couple of months' worth of food on hand anyway if you're rich enough to. But if we normally tell people that you should always buy a little bit extra all the time and put some on the shelf.
My mom had a saying, even if you don't need it, get it anyway because you're going to need it.
Yeah, well, she's a pretty smart woman.
Now you know why I hit all the cells.
yeah. Well, I had a special relationship with your mother. Thank you.
Yeah.
Anyway, where can they find our website?
You can find all of our breaking news, all about the mission, how to contact us and donate, and all that's over there at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com.
All right, folks, we'll be back in about 4 minutes.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
As I try to figure out what this world is all about, I know one thing without a doubt, my Lord is in control. Perilous times I know are here. Men's hearts fail because of fear. But here's one thing I know is clear. My Lord is in control. He's in control. This is everything I know. He's coming back to take me home. Thank you.
History records that the seventh-day Sabbath was not set aside by early Christians, and that it has never ceased to be observed. Athanasius, a theologian who attended the Nicene Council, recorded the fact that in 340 A.D. he and his fellow believers observed the seventh-day Sabbath. He was not the only theologian to report the observance after the time of Constantine. Socrates Scholasticus, a church historian who lived in the late 4th and early 5th century, made the following statement. Touching the communion, there are sundry observations, for almost all the churches throughout the world do celebrate and receive the holy mysteries every Sabbath. Socrates said that some, based on tradition, observe Sunday and went on to differentiate between the Sabbath and Sunday, stating, I mean the Saturday and Sunday upon which the Christians are wont to meet solemnly in the church. Jesus said that not even the slightest aspect of the law will change. The fourth commandment, which instructs us to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy, is one of those commandments. It was established at the time of creation, observed by Jesus and his followers, by saints down through the centuries, and will be observed in the new heavens and the new earth. Athanasius' statement regarding the observation of the Sabbath sums it up. We assemble on Saturday not that we are infected with Judaism, but only to worship Christ, the Lord of the Sabbath. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
Welcome back. This is Pastor Dan and Linda Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Okay, I forgot to do that. We're having Tom Mack on at this point. Anyway, he's the principal of the White Cottage Publishing Company. He turns manuscripts into books. He's been around a long time. He's been doing Bible codes for, I think, over 40 years or something like that. But did we get Tom Mack on yet? Are you there, Tom? Okay, apparently we haven't got him on yet, so he's trying to get him on the line, but he did Bible codes. Now, Bible codes are sequences that you do. It's really hard to explain. While I'm looking at one, you put it in the Torah codes, and it originally came out as Torah codes. Let me see over here and see what's going on. Oh, okay, here we go. I didn't scroll down far enough. Anyway... Let me ask my producer if he's on yet. Tom. Anyway, we'll talk about some precautions while waiting on Tom. But anyway, I had him run this. Okay, there we go. Tom, are you there, Tom?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. All right, I can hear you now. It just took a minor delay in getting you on. I already introduced you. I was stumbling around because I'm not sure... Explain in brief what Bible codes are for the people. What is a Bible code? Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. One of the things I've been able to do for 20 years now with computer technology and everything is I can go through and hunt and find out through equidistant letter spacing various messages hidden within the Bible. They've known about it since about 500 BC, Prophet Zechariah.
Right.
And it's always been something that's been there, but the rabbis never would talk about it with the public because
right.
They always felt it was too dangerous. They still feel that way, a lot of them. So they don't necessarily appreciate what I do. But it's what we're able to do is find out things that are hidden in there that we never knew was there before.
Right. Let me ask you a question. Originally, the first time I ever seen anything called, it wasn't really even called Bible, because they called it Torah codes when it first came out. In fact, I got one on a floppy disk just to show you how long ago it came out. Do you know anything? I think that the rabbi that did that was pretty well ridiculed by his, compatriots, so to speak. Back to you.
Well, the first rabbi to really do anything with this was a guy named Rabbi Weissmandahl. He had escaped from Nazi Germany and had come over to the United States, ironically, to a place called Babylon, New York.
Right.
And he had a synagogue and a yeshiva. And every once in a while, he'd start mentioning this to his yeshiva students. Well, some of those yeshiva students took that to Israel. And the Israeli government got very, very interested in it. And they actually set up a program for it. And as computer technology increased exponentially in the 80s, suddenly they were able to start doing this more than trying to reduce it to 10 by 10 cards.
Yeah. Let's go with this. Now, so when this coronavirus thing hit, you're one of the first people I thought of, and I asked you to run. You ran two different codes. You ran one on, you was just trying to find the virus. And you found some things when you added it to plague. But then I found this thing about, I sent you some things to learn about Abraham's seed, because I already brought it up on the program, that Israel claims that they are getting ready to, that it's the scientists over there, as we've already explained on the program earlier, that they're probably going to have a vaccine to the people in 90 days. And I thought, well, wow, Abraham's seed, as the scripture goes, would bless the world. What did you find out when you ran that code? You could tell people how that worked.
And it said just that they would cure this. And it said cure. I couldn't believe it, because you don't cure anything these days. But the interesting thing is I sort of realized, one, they were probably ahead of me because they got better technology for doing codes than I do. They haven't shared anything with me since about the year 2000 when George W. Bush started messing with the Israelis and promising things and not delivering. And so they got upset with anything American, and suddenly I lost my access, and so did a few other people.
Right.
But I still have the programs to do it. And so I don't quite get it as fast as they do.
Right.
But they figured out rather quickly this thing's manufactured. And it is rather suspicious. We heard from Senator Tom Cotton for about 2 days, and then suddenly he's quiet. And that there was a factory next to Wuhan, China, next to that marketplace where it supposedly started.
Mm-hmm.
And so it became pretty apparent. And so I started running the codes, but the biggest problem I ran into is I could never get corona and virus to go together.
Right.
I could get corona and plague to go together.
Uh-huh.
And so I started going, what am I not seeing here? What am I not getting? Because they're definitely identifying a virus. But then when you started digging into the old medical books, you found out that the coronavirus was the common cold.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, say hello to my wife. You never
said. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Linda. It's nice
How
to meet
you.
You. But
that's interesting.
Go ahead. I didn't know. But I figured you ought to know who's in the background.
So I'm fighting this thing, You know, and the codes aren't wrong. Tom's wrong, but the codes aren't. And so,
well, it makes sense. They say there's no cure for the common cold, so they're saying there's no cure for the coronavirus, so they must be cousins.
Well, they have it. But they're going to have they're going to have a vaccine for it. Okay, so back to you, Tom. We'll let you talk a minute.
Okay, so the fact I could get the word virus, but it would never connect with corona. So I started wondering, how come, because they're definitely identifying this as a virus. And then it sort of came to me. What they're doing is they're inserting an infection inside the virus. Because the problem they've had before in trying to introduce these sicknesses, whether it be West Nile, whether it be H1N1, which you mentioned earlier, or some of the others, is that they would do fine for a while, but they'd die out because in the United States, people have a bad habit. They wash their hands. And when you wash your hands, you use disinfectant soap. And so that would kill almost any virus that might infect us because you make your kids wash their hands.
Right.
And you drill it in them as your parents drilled it into you. And my parents drilled it into me. I was not even allowed at the dinner table if I hadn't washed my hands. So in the United States and in most Western countries, we have better sanitation, so these viruses died. So the people who create these things realized they had to come up with a better carrying mechanism. And what better carrying mechanism than the common cold?
Wow.
You get it? It's an old rhinovirus. But what they did is they found a way to put an infectious substance within a virus. And then when you got the virus, every virus will feed fake DNA into you or RNA. It just depends on the virus. So instead, this virus gives you a gift, and then it moves on. It lands in your cell and gives its gift, moves on. Because, you know, you shake a cold after a while because the cold moves on to other people. But this one sort of becomes the gift that keeps on giving. And it goes from person to person.
Say something a minute. What you're saying makes a lot of sense. Why, you know, some people just seem like they just, you know, kind of just shake this off and does just like people do with some people with a cold. You know, you might have a little bit of a sniffle and then right on about your business and no problem. And, you know, they also said that this had definitely been mutated because they've seen, what was it, was had some AIDS in it. You know, they were using some kind of AIDS cells or something in it, but. It's just crazy. I know that it's manufactured. We got some other things that we want to do, but briefly tell me now. Listen, I'm going to have you on within the next 2 weeks, and you were saying that you're going to. Is the information that you're going to have that you gave me yesterday? You said you were maybe going to have some codes on the temple and some other things soon.
Well. Something that's bothered me for quite a while is I've been working on the Abomination of Desolation, trying to find out just how it's going to work out. And sure enough, I've been finding codes on it.
Really?
And I'm finding that one, and I just found this probably 2 hours ago, is I found them building this new temple, and Islam is going to be very, very connected with it. That's why it's going to be an abomination that maketh desolation.
Amen. let me butt in for a second. I absolutely know that the Sanhedrin has been working with the Muslims for some time. Even Joel Richardson pointed it out to me when he wrote the book, The Islamic Antichrist. The Sanhedrin, after it's too long of a story, but the Sanhedrin actually called him and wanted him to suppress his book because they said that they were working on building the temple with the Muslims. And they said that years ago, and I'd have to look it up or re-ask Joel about it. So, yeah, I do know that is you. What you're stating is an absolute fact. The Sanhedrin have been working with them for some time and wanting them to do it. So is these codes going to be ready? If I don't, I'm not sure. I'll have to look at my calendar. Either next week or the next week. One of those 2 weeks, we can do this.
Give me about 2 weeks, because this thing, it's so monstrous. I get terrified sometimes when I do these things, because you enter
into... See
what
you don't want to.
Well, yeah. It isn't, it's a internal conflict within me. It's an ambivalency, where I've got to get the truth out. But I know that I've got to do it right. It's like with the coronavirus. I've learned about these things, and I'm getting ready to put a page up, but I've got a nurse working with me that's going to make sure that I get everything right medically.
Right, right.
Because I am not anywhere close to being trained in anything in the sciences. My degrees are in business, and my expertise is mathematics in business, quantitative methods, as they like to call it now.
Right.
And so when I get out of my area, I have to seek help on these things.
Amen.
Well, at least you're doing. You know, that's one thing I like about President Trump is he gets people around him that if he don't know about it, he gets, you know, other people to know. That would be, Tom, today is the 5th, and so I won't book you for the 12th. How about March 19th? That'll be 2 weeks from today.
Okay.
Okay, and we'll do March 19th, because I'm marking it now. March 19th, and that will be at the 7 p.m. program. Is that okay with you?
Yes, that'd be 6 p.m. my time.
Right, right. Okay, well, look, brother, I'm really going to have to let you go. And thanks for running this code for me. And for the record, folks, in brief, what he said, he looked up a code, and it does look like it, the words that he found that were all in sequence together was Israel, Corona, healed, nations and contamination. That looks like that maybe this, if we can make, but 90 days is a long time for a virus.
And it's all in Genesis.
Yeah, amen. Well, thanks, Tom, for being on. You're a real brother, and we'll talk to you on the 19th at 7 p.m., and I'm looking forward to that code.
Okay. We will keep at it, and thank you for having me on.
All right.
Thanks,
you be
Tom.
Blessed, brother. Bye-bye. Okay, bye-bye. Folks, that was Tom Mack. He's been running Bible Codes for a very long time. So we'll see what what happens with that Bible code. Sometimes they surprise me. He ran some that I went, wow, I don't know. But what Tom says, see, here's the point. When you look at Bible codes, these things pop up. And like he says, well, Tom's wrong, but the Bible codes aren't. What it means that these words all show up when you run the code. The interpretation of what they mean is another thing entirely.
Right.
You know, so we're looking at, we're hoping that it is right, and we're hoping that there will be a vaccine in 90 days, but 90 days is a long time for a virus.
Well, I'm really surprised that he connected the coronavirus with the common cold. That means it's been around for decades.
Well, they infused it into the common cold. We don't know exactly at what point that they did it, but remember, too, though, a coronavirus, there's different strains of coronavirus, you know
right.
what I'm saying? And so, it would take a reason I cut that off. It would take a whole program to get it all out of him. What he's trying.
One thing that sticks in my mind is when you was talking about washing hands, and yes, we've all been taught that. But it amazes me, even to this day, that all the times I use a public restroom and people go in and out without washing their hands. And then I see a report of a McDonald's screen that has nothing but fecal matter on it every day when they test it.
Yeah,
so there you have it, people. Don't wash their hands.
And you know what? I like that McDonald's screen.
I don't go in there. I go through the drive-thru. But, yeah, it's just eerie, creepy.
Well, the reason I like the screen is because I special order all my hamburgers when I do eat at McDonald's, maybe once a week because it's fast and it's cheap. Folks, I'm in Wichita. I have to eat cheaply, and so for $5, I can get a meal, and it's quick.
Here's one for you. When you get done making your order, you go wash your hands before you touch your food.
Yeah, but then there's the dilemma that you they got the stupid blow dryers in there, and that's terrible.
Yep, germs everywhere.
Right, and you can't. You need something to dry your hands off with, and so you wipe
toilet
them on
paper.
Yeah, I know you told me that.
Or toilet seat covers, I've used those too.
I usually wipe them on my shirt. And
I use my hips.
Okay, anyway. So, folks, really, you should be prepared for this. I don't want you to get into a panic, but there's nothing wrong with being cautionary. Big thing is food. You need to have food and water in your house and the things that you would normally treat a cold with, and like it says, and I know this is something I ran across today, make sure if somebody in your family does get sick with it, put them in a separate room and do not let the family pets around them. You know, there's reports of people in, and I won't say which states and places because I don't want to bring your list up, take too long, but there's people that are panicking and they're taking their pets ahead of time to vets and having them put to sleep. Because they're such fear of this thing. And so don't do that to your pets. But just if you're sick, don't take care of the pets. If they're house pets, it might cause a dilemma. But the point is don't get overshook with this. Now, we're trying to fight all the way through. But, and like the producer pointed out, he said these are people with zero faith that are like that.
Right.
You've got to have faith in this whole matter because, you know, you get through the flu and different things. You got to have some faith is the big thing. You got to have some belief in there, and you got to trust in the fodder. But don't get overly panicked. But do make some preparations. And really, though, I need to ask you folks for two things today. We really, we've really been getting blessed with some food at the Mission Church, and we've been able to feed a lot of others. In fact, I'll put some pictures out after tomorrow. I will put pictures out on the Wichita Mission Church Facebook page about how many people we're feeding, and I'll put it up on the pastor's page. But the point is while we're doing good on food, we need to buy some things. We need to get a stock of some disinfectants. We really need it bad for the Mission Church. We also need to get some cold medications for these people. So I implore you, folks, pray about it. We really need your help, and we need your support at this time. Help us get ready to help the people. And I even got a thing over there on the pastor's page. If you can't get face masks, I got a simple thing that actually came out of China, I think. Somebody else shared with me from Facebook. That's a nurse or she works in the healthcare industry, and they said they can't get masks, but she showed me a video on how to make them yourself. That will work. And it's over on the pastor's page. So that'll work, but we need some funds to do that, and folks, also, it's the 5th of the month, and I haven't paid up all radio from last month, and I need to pay up radio for this month. If you enjoy these programs, support radio. I mean, radio supports the mission. I mean, it's all intertwined together. And people say,
we actually started radio to support the mission, so amen.
Yeah, that's actually that is my sole reason that because I didn't think I wanted to talk and do guests and all that, but I was talked into it, and I figured that going on radio would support the Mission Church. And so that was the main reason, and I had to change with the time because we used to do a mail-out newsletter, which we do. As soon as I get some more ink, I'm doing the next newsletter. In fact,
yes, I was getting ready to say, we need to do another one, but we need ink. So
yeah, I need ink. I found a reduced place to get it, but I need about $30-$40 to get some ink for it. and then we'll need stamps. So we need a couple of $100 to get the next newsletter out. But to start with, we just need ink. You know, if somebody donated money for ink, that'd be fine. If you're donating money for radio, make sure you mark it for radio so we know that's what it's for. Otherwise, everything goes into the general fund, and a bunch of things grab it quickly. And, you know, so anyway, folks, all of us, every one of us, we are responsible to care for one another. The Word of God says that we are our brother's keepers. That starts at home. It says that whoever doesn't take care of their own household, and I even take that to mean household of faith, is worse than an imbecile. It's worse than a pagan. It's just really bad. See, charity, love starts at home. From there it goes out. But help us. We've got a lot of people we're taking care of. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. Again, if you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime. It isn't free, and donations keep us on the air. And people, you might say, well, I'm listening to your podcast. Well, a podcast is just a radio program archive. In fact, I was putting my radio program archives out on the internet where people were really even calling them a podcast. That name came up, and I still don't like that name, podcast, even though I use a podcast, which is branch.podomatic.com. Branch.podomatic.com, folks. You can go right there and get all the programs. But the point is it's a radio program, so we have to pay for airtime. I have to pay for Skype. Thank you, Frank. I have to pay for Skype.
Internet, electricity, podcast, the whole, yeah, and everything's money, 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 money.
right. And so pray about it. And also, if you want to know about the breaking news and all those kind of things, go over to prophecyhour.com, and I have the latest breaking news, except for on the Sabbath, unless the world's blowing up. I don't put anything up on the Sabbath because that's my day of rest. Well, it's the Father's day of rest for us. But I rest, and then the first day of the week, I'm usually doing all work around our property and everything, or on our cars or vehicles, because we're poor. We can't hire people to come in and do them things, and so I'm doing that on Sunday. But, you know, if there's something breaking, it'll come out there over the weekend. But on from Monday through Friday, you'll get the latest breaking news, the most important things for you. Just go to prophecyhour.com, prophecyhour.com. Are you seeing a shortage or anything else you want to? We've got about a minute.
Yeah, we need to stock the church. We need cups and go plates and forks. And, yeah, we're really running low on forks.
Yeah, when you do, think about that, folks. When you do up to 50, 60 plates a day, that's 50, 60 paper plates, and then 50 or 60 spoons, and 50 paper cuts is ridiculous.
Oh, we go through them because everybody uses two or three, or you see some of them got four in their hand.
Right.
It doesn't matter. The more you tell them one cup a piece, the more they use.
Well, because the cups are so small, I guess.
Well,
I get
8 ounce cups because they're 1,000 for $15. So.
Right. So, but and again, we need disinfectant so we can spray the church down. We need funds.
And I found a good deal on that: 4 cans for $15.
At Sam's, right?
Sam's.
At Sam's. So pray about supporting what we do. That's all we ask. Pray about it and make sure you take care of your own family and your own first.
Right. If you don't take care of you and yourself, how are you going to take care of anybody else?
Right.
Your family and yourself. Well, I said you and yourself. That's the same person, Linda. didn't even catch that one. I caught myself. Your family and yourself. You always got to take care of your family and yourself first.
Anyway,
okay, goodbye, people.
You must remember that there is only one true God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repentant sins. He rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always be a blessing to others. Always. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's praying for Yeshua's return. And up in an hour from now, Stan Johnson will be on with us of the Prophecy Club to talk about his new book. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Father, that you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would please be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
Shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.